Dennis in the Know. Hello, Jennifer. How are you?
Hi.
We are the Dennis in the Know. This is your backstage look at current trends, politics, and education. All in the dental world, it's live.
And over a cocktail.
We are all practicing dentists. We are all catapult educators. We are all business owners. And our job is to bring you in the know. So we are obviously missing one dink today. Chad is on a webinar, but I have a feeling he'll be joining us here very, very shortly.
I think so.
So how are you, JB?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good.
You've had a rough week, though.
Yeah,
that's been fair. So can I talk about my cocktail?
Duh.
Okay. First off, hello. Kind of like our guest, which I had a kind of an, you know, pre-exposure to. I'm also drinking tequila, but a Casamigos with a little Fever Tree grapefruit and a splash of lime. Getting real sophisticated tonight.
So basically, you're going to be slurring the news tonight. I'm going to drag this out and make you do the news at the end, I think. Hey.
Right. I know how to taper the wine. I'm not so sure about the tequila.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think there is a taper button for tequila.
No, it just really, it's just too easy to drink.
Yeah. Well, I hear you on that.
What are you having?
I'm just drinking some Russian River Valley Pinot Noir. Just
a good old Wednesday night.
Yeah, just a regular Wednesday at the Horowitz house.
It was so warm today. I just felt like having, you know, a nice refreshing cocktail.
I don't blame you, man. I went outside for a little bit and I was like, oh, I've needed this for a while.
Inside?
Yeah, I think, you know, and I think just this whole year and as crazy as it's been, and, you know, I know everyone is in the same exact place, but it felt like the cold just lasted longer than it ever has. I mean, I don't know what's going on, man, but I'm ready for some sun. I need a vacation. But Chad, we're here.
He'd even say it snowed in Texas. I mean, that's how crazy the winter was.
It really was. It was nuts. So anything exciting happening in the bell world or?
So other than that, we're pretty good. It was a good weekend. We went to DC last weekend to visit my sister, brother-in-law, my new niece who was born a year ago, which we haven't seen very much because of COVID. And so it was a really good time to spend with family. I will say we did check out the new Spy Museum, which was actually really cool. I mean, it was very interactive, so the kids enjoyed it. But the spy activity of the United States and the international world is quite fascinating. And it's really amazing how much they disclose in the museum about nefarious activities and things that we participated in or we caught wind of or... Yeah. And they have real spies doing testimonials and videos and all this stuff. And I couldn't help but think, it seems not safe because now we can see your face and whoever might be mad about the thing that you did that when you did it might come after you because there's no hiding who you are anymore. Anyway, they have their passports and anyway, it was super, super interesting.
That sounds really cool. And I could tell you more about the Spy Museum, but then I'd have to kill you.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Deny everything.
So I got a funny story. So, you know, I've been going back and forth to New Jersey like all the time. So here is something positive that came out of COVID is the airport bars have to serve or most of them are serving in plastic cups now. So you can take your fruit.
Sounds like
out.
A travel cup.
It sounds like a travel cup, which apparently is frowned upon on most of the airlines. For you to bring your drink from the airport bar onto the aircraft, which what difference does it make? Anyway, I'm getting on the flight on the way home. And of course, you know, I go and get my Bacardi and Diet Coke and, you know, I'm chilling out in the airport. And so
wait,
can we make
drink
that
Bacardi
a double?
And Diet Coke?
Yeah.
What my dad drank every night of my childhood.
See, I don't drink it a lot. For some reason, I drink it in airports. I don't know why.
Okay.
I kind of know what I'm going to get, you know,
it's
a given. It's easy. It's a given.
Yeah.
You know, even if the rum is crap that they have, who cares? Right. Yeah. Anyway, so I'm getting on the plane and of course they all ask you, there's not alcohol in that cup, sir. Is there? And I said, no, it's a no. And so the guy behind me goes, you know, there's always that person that listens into your conversation and has to chime in. It's usually me. But so this guy goes, now you're just going to take his word for
you. Shut up.
Yeah, really, dude? No. So the guy follows me down there and I'm like, dude, of course it's a rum and coke. I said, but didn't your mom ever teach you that on a line, if anyone asks you anything, the answer is always no. It doesn't matter what you're asked on a line. If you're on a line and waiting for something, if someone asks you a question, the default answer is no. Take that to the bank. That's a piece of advice you can give your grandkids.
That's news you can use.
Well, speaking of news you can use, you're really getting good at these segues now.
Thanks.
I'm very impressed. Well, let me tell everyone what's on the show first, or more importantly, who's on the show. So tonight we have a really special guest. I say that she's very special because she happens to be one of my employees. She has helped me build and maintain a really great sleep practice, and she's done that for other practices. And we thought, what a great thing it would be to talk to all the dinks and to help other dentists who are wanting to implement sleep in their practice but have hit some roadblocks or found some stumbling blocks along the way. I thought this would really be great for everyone to hear Ashley's perspective on how to develop and how to build and maintain a successful sleep practice. So Ashley Brown, my sleep care coordinator, is on. And as JB alluded to, I think we've got some news. So JB, why don't you take it away?
I just want to go ahead and say that I'm so excited about this show because, you know, I took your course, in fact, 2015, got into sleep. I have really enjoyed that.
Was it the best education a human could ever
consume.
Participate in?
Then we ended up at the Angus Barn. Anyway, it was a great weekend.
Why does every story end with me in a bar? I don't get this.
Anyway, it was fun. So
The shoe fits.
At least when we're involved, that's where it always ends up. I learned so much that weekend that it piqued my interest in sleep. But I think that I'm not unique in having challenges with rolling it out, implementing it, educating your staff members, billing for it. You know, I find medical billing, not that that's what we're going to dive into tonight, but I find that to be a pretty onerous task and trying to figure out how we negotiate that versus dental billing. We know that really well. We do it every day. So I'm super excited about this conversation. I'm going to try not to monopolize it, but I have to think that some of the questions that I have as a more novice clinician in sleep probably reflect what some of our other
audience. And that's what really I would love for you and hopefully Chad will be on by then to ask all those questions or as many of those questions as possible. I mean, I work with Ashley almost every single day. So I think really you'd be better at picking her brain than I would. The amount that she's done in her short career is just absolutely dumbfounding. Anyway, well, we'll get to Ashley in a little bit.
Should we talk about the news?
That's what I want to hear about.
Well, actually, the first topic of conversation has a lot to do with you, I think, frankly.
Doesn't everything have something to do with me? It's like 5 degrees to Jeff Horowitz.
Yes, you are the Kevin Bacon of dentistry.
Of dentistry.
But that actually means most other humans have 12 degrees to you. Yeah. Anyway, it sounds like South Carolina might be having an interesting board meeting on Friday to talk about home sleep testing.
Yeah, so I don't want to steal your spotlight.
Please. You live there.
Literally, I just got this email today from the AADSM, and it was an email saying that my state board is going to be voting this Friday. So they gave me lots of time to put some arguments together and actually make some time. But you will best be sure that whether it's me or someone that I delegate, there will be somebody in that teleconference to represent dentists. But essentially, our state board is going to take up the argument as to whether a dentist should be allowed to dispense a home sleep test or not. And what's really unfortunate is I can see the amount of misinformation that's already there, because they're also in the argument talking about whether dentists should be allowed to diagnose sleep apnea or not. Now, unless you've had your head buried in the sand, there has never been a discussion about dentists diagnosing sleep apnea. We have always worked with our medical counterparts. The board certified sleep physician has always read the sleep study and issued the diagnosis. And then we have helped facilitate treatment, but we've also helped facilitate diagnosis by getting these people out to the physicians. So, you know, typically these are usually overreaches. Every state is different, you know, because you were probably in one of the most restrictive states in North Carolina. Yeah. But anyone who is listening from South Carolina, please, I urge you to participate in the state board meeting, which is this Friday. And if you can get on, and there are many good reasons why dentists should be using this technology. And again, not for us to ever diagnose or for us to take this treatment into our own hands, but merely to allow us to treat our patients appropriately for post-op testing, for screening, for comparing apples to apples. In other words, if I get a patient that comes in and they've had an in-lab sleep study, and I know I'm going to be doing the follow-up sleep study with a home sleep test, a lot of times I'll just go ahead and get a home baseline, so I'm comparing apples to apples in the final treatment assessment. And I mean, how can anybody argue that? But they will, because they don't have the right information. So, and that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah. We struggle with the same in North Carolina. You know, we, it's getting the right information in the right hands to me. And in fairness, sleep is not a well, it doesn't reach every dentist, right? There are some that are dabbling in it. There are some that are really experts in it, but it's certainly not something you can walk into any dental office. You can walk into any dental office and get a class two filling. You cannot walk into any dental office and get, you know, adequate sleep consultation and discussion about that. And I think if you don't have a board that has a lot of that experience, then you might get an interesting response out of them. And I think that's part of the, you know, North Carolina, we see that a fair amount, that we have a lot of restriction around things that are newer, you know,
right.
Botox and dermafills, sleep, you know, GPs kind of branching out. For us, dental hygienists doing anesthesia, like all these things are taking time to get implemented because they're on the newer end of the spectrum. So I think it will be an interesting debate. I think I would really love to see the notes and the discussion topics from that board meeting, because I think those will be really, really relevant to a lot of other boards that are having the exact same challenges and conversations. And frankly, they're going to anybody who they deem to be an expert in the area to help craft this, because I'm sure a decent percentage of the board members have no experience with sleep.
Right.
And so they depend on, and so it's, that is the advocacy piece of all of that, is they depend on the voices who are in that room to help craft the bylaw. So if you're not in the room, this is from Hamilton. I want to be in the room where it happens. And that's right. What is the most important part of that is that's how the influence happens. That's how things get done, is to be in that select group of individuals who get to have those discussions that ultimately make decisions. So I hope that you can be there. And if not, I hope you can send someone in your stead who will represent really highly qualified dentists who are out there doing a phenomenal job every day treating patients. And
well, I hate to say this too, you know, and I hope no one's watching that gets offended by this, but you know, I often find sometimes that there are issues with competitiveness on the board, or they're doing really well with something, and you know, that's not what we were taught in dental school. So what gives them the right, and they're being successful with it. So, you know, we've seen those kinds of things happen. And so I think sometimes there's a quick rush to judgment, you know, when general dentists replacing implants or general dentists doing ortho or anything that has the potential to be competitive or to feel competitive to some. But, you know, the thing about sleep, like the thing about dentistry, especially in South Carolina, people are moving here like crazy. There is no shortage of patients here. There is no shortage of sleep apnea.
Right.
There is no competition in this area right now. And so working together is so much more effective than keeping that competitive and worrisome kind of attitude.
I agree.
Well, there's certainly a moving.
I don't know what I was going to say because you distracted me.
Okay.
Update on CMC codes. CDT update, as soon as they put it public, we'll put it out. And then the other thing is OSHA and CDC changes in standards. I'm seeing a lot of stuff coming through right now. There are a lot of seats at the table arguing a lot of valid points. And so, you know, if a COVID standard is what they're working through and trying to figure out, we just want to make sure that dentists are having an opportunity for that discussion. So if there is one, I'll post it so that you guys can advocate for your voice. But right now, I don't know of any open meetings yet.
All right. Well, awesome job as always. Without any further ado, I think I'm going to bring Ashley into the stream. And let me introduce Ashley here. She's about to pop up. Hi, Ashley.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So first of all, thank you, because if you've ever seen the movie Horrible Bosses, Ashley is actually on her vacation right now. And
you are in fact.
Yeah. Talk about a team player here. She jumped in on vacation and she's like, wait a minute, I'm going to be with my whole family. We're going to be drinking. I'm like, exactly. That's what our show is. So this worked out perfectly. Thank you for taking time away from your family and everything. So for any of you out there who don't know Ashley Brown, Ashley is our sleep care coordinator in our practice. And that didn't happen by accident. Ashley is a young lady that I met at one of the AADSM meetings. And it was funny because when I get into CE mode, I'm really kind of a nerd. I'm kind of a junkie. I just can't get enough. And every time I go into a course, all these people were out talking in the hallway. And every course I kept seeing this long, dark haired girl sitting in the front, you know, just really sucking all the information in and taking notes feverishly. And I'm like, man, you know, that person is pretty dedicated. And of course, I assume she was a dentist at first because she's sitting in these really high level courses. So at one point, end up seeing her, she's actually sitting at the bar. Imagine that, sitting at the bar right after the meeting ended. And somehow we end up starting talking and I was just so impressed. And I find out that she's not a dentist, that she's actually a dental assistant that started as a got her certified dental technician's license. Anyway, I'm going to let her tell you her whole journey through sleep. The bottom line is that for years, I said to Ashley, you are going to come and work with me one day because you're motivated, you're intelligent, you really give a crap. And honestly, what more do you need? And, you know, you guys hear me brag about my team all the time. And it's because it's a lot of people like Ashley. It's a lot of people that what we do for our patients is what we do. And, you know, no other way to say it. And anybody who comes to the practice with that kind of a passion and that kind of self-motivation is just somebody I want to be around and practice around forever. So literally, I hounded Ashley for years. And one day it happened. One day it just happened. So, Ashley, welcome. It's really great to see your face, even though you're on vacation right now. So why don't you do this? Why don't, for our viewers, and I really want JB and Chad to ask some of the questions. And oh, you know what I just said? I just said Chad. And just like that, I imagined him and he appeared.
Reunited and it feels so good.
Patty, how are you?
What's up, everybody?
All right.
Hey, good to see everybody. Y'all carry on. I'm just here to listen and hear from the dental sleep queen herself, Miss Ashley.
Well, not, you know, Ashley's been a great friend to Dinx too. There's a lot of people who are part of our group because of Ashley. So thanks to her for that. But I really want you guys to ask a lot of the questions here because I know Ashley. I work with her every day. She's amazing. But you know, I would tell you to pick her brain because what I wanted to get across to everyone out there is just how important that dedicated sleep care coordinator is when you're trying to really build a sleep practice within a general dental practice where you're doing lots of other things. So Ashley, I'm going to let you start. Just talk about your journey as a dental assistant. So tell us about your journey in the dental world and into sleep. And then let's pick your brain a little bit for everybody who's thinking about hiring or bringing on a sleep care coordinator.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for having me on. I really never thought I would be living in South Carolina. So here I am. Dr. Horace is right. He definitely stole me from a conference. So I was definitely very surprised to be here, especially now that my whole family is here too. So they not only have to come visit me here in South Carolina now, so I've got the whole clan right outside.
And by the way, you're vacationing in South Carolina too.
Yeah, because COVID, So I'm like, I can't go anywhere, but
No, it's because we got it going on in South Carolina. That's why.
That's right. Both.
I won't interrupt you again.
Both. And so, well, there's less of a mask ordinance here, so my family's like, we need to come see you. So it's been a very nice transition, but I'm grateful to be here. So I started my sleep medicine career as a lab technician, which I think is a little bit backwards for a lot of sleep assistants here, because I'm actually, I like to say, the redheaded stepchild as the dental assistant. You don't want me really. If I'm assisting your filling, I'm like the one that someone has called out. Someone hasn't showed up. Someone's not here. If I'm in the chair and I'm your assistant and it's dentistry, that's why usually. I haven't assisted dentistry in about probably 6 or 7 years, being a dental assistant full time. I did used to be a dental assistant full time. I got into dentistry as a bartender. One of my favorite clients was Dr. Jason Lipscomb, and so also Dr. Mike McMunn. And so they were my regulars at the bar and kind of pulled me in and told me I need to get into dentistry. So luckily for them, I did. And between the two of them, I have learned dental assisting and sleep medicine. I got wrapped into Dr. McMunn's practice, and I was actually his lab technician and his assistant. And unfortunately, he did pass away. So once he did pass away, we were able to pull several of the dentists in the community to help continue to establish his practice. And I started going from a lab technician to really seeing the patients physically, because we didn't have a lot of experience without Dr. McMunn kind of leading our hands. So as a lab technician coming from, I knew how to make appliances and adjust appliances and seat appliances. I was able to lend a helpful hand when the dentists that were helping our practice were kind of focusing more on the implant sedation side of the practice. So it was really a really nice transition. And then luckily I was able to meet Dr. Horowitz, and then he convinced me to move to the crazy state of South Carolina. And here I am.
I love it. Yeah, well,
I just got to say, that's kind of a creepy story when you talk about Dr. Horowitz.
Because that was quick, right?
No, it was quick,
but you know what? Some people are like, man, Horowitz kind of creeps me out. And you actually fell for his BS?
I had my dad stalk him ahead of time.
My dad was peeking into the
windows of his dental practice, because we've had a condo here in South Carolina. So he's like, oh, I want you to move here. And my dad's like, no way. Let me go see if this guy's legit. So he's like peeking in his practice on Saturdays. Like, he's got this many ops. He's got this is the front door. And I'm like, okay. He's like, sending me pictures.
Did he not watch Beach TV?
Yeah. He's like sending me pictures and everything. So
you know,
you would have seen Ashley, him. I had seen him if I would have.
you are so mature beyond your years. And I would say that it is obviously a very mutually beneficial relationship, because Jeff needs some guidance in his life. We all know that. But I can tell just from watching the way that you interact with people on Facebook that you're so mature, and you do such a fantastic job for Jeff, because he just raves about you.
Oh, thanks.
And, you know, I think that every practice needs an Ashley.
Thank you, Chad. You know, we can't wait to be working with you. I'm ready for you to come.
Well, apparently I need a lot of work in a lot of different areas. but I'm going to come up there. I almost surprised you guys a few weeks ago, but there were some horrible storms and Charleston flooded. So, I will get up there and I will see you guys. What's the most demanding part of your job? And then the second question that I'm going to ask is the flip side is, what's the most rewarding?
Okay. So the most demanding part of my job, I think, is the medical insurance, just navigating the medical insurance world through a dental practice, because obviously that's something that everyone wants to know. We are in network with medical insurances. So I think that that's something that a lot of people, like your face, is scared of.
Carry on. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, you're fine. So yeah, I think the hardest part of my job is fighting with medical insurances. I'm like the sweetest person, but then when an insurance company like pisses me off, it's like a bad thing.
I'm going to chime in here and say one of my favorite things to do is walk past the office when she's on the phone with an insurance company telling like a physician. She gets it done. You get it done. And that you have to, you know, you have to be in that mindset when you're dealing. And it's a negotiation half the time. And I think, you know, this leads me into a question that I'd love for everybody to hear. I think the single biggest reason there's two main reasons that people get into sleep and then get out of sleep, because I've trained a lot of people in treating sleep dentistry. And the first reason that I think people get in and get out is exactly what you just said, the medical insurance. It's just a nightmare, especially if you try to do it within the practice and you don't outsource it and you don't really have all the people who are well-trained or don't really understand all the nuances of medical insurance. And then the other thing is, you know, just the side effects of oral appliance therapy that they're not prepared for, you know, the TMJ issues, the muscle issues, the bite changes, you know, and we see it every day. So with that said, Ashley, I have a question for you, and I think everyone will want to hear this.
My favorite thing.
Go ahead. We can get to that. That was a two-part question.
Okay. Well, I want her to talk about her favorite thing.
No, but go ahead. I think it's important what you were going
to
say.
No, I just want everyone out there to know why it's so important to have a dedicated sleep care coordinator.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I think the most important reason to have a dedicated sleep coordinator is that sleep has a ton of paperwork. And I say that slow because it's like paperwork. Like, there is so much paperwork for sleep apnea. So to put that on your general dental assistant, it's just not doable. So I think that that's the first mistake that a lot of dentists make, is that we are actually billing and doing medical instead of dental. So if you've ever been to a medical provider, if you've ever worked with a medical provider in your dental office, they're going to send very thorough notes about your patient every single visit. And I think that's the very first thing that us as dental providers forget, is that we don't communicate that often because we don't have to. And so really staying in touch with the community and really communicating with them constantly is unfortunately something that we have to do that takes a lot out of a general dental assistant's task when she's doing fillings and implants and things like that. So I think that really makes it difficult for someone to juggle both of those positions.
So I'm going to piggyback on that. Your question is just going to go into a hole somewhere for a while.
Sure.
So just bury it for a bit. So this is really for Jeff and Ashley, because Jeff can speak from the business perspective, which I think will resonate with some portion of our viewers. And then Ashley as well. What's the tipping point? Like, do you dip your toe in sleep for a little while before you bring on the sleep coordinator? Do you have to be like, today I'm becoming a sleep dentist and I'm going to do class twos, but I'm only going to do those on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and I'm bringing on a dedicated full-time person? There's a lot to balance in that tipping point of where it makes sense from an ROI perspective to say, I'm bringing on a full-time employee. And I know, Jeff, you were doing a lot of sleep before Ashley came on. So maybe Jeff, talk a little bit about that. And then Ashley, when you came on and probably created your role to some extent and also created your value, you know, as you come into those things, you start to actually create an ROI. So maybe you both can kind of speak to that.
Ashley, I'm going to start here because my answer is going to be very short and I'm going to kick it right back to you.
You go
Ashley
ahead.
Saw my sleep practice when she came in. And she knows what it is now. I've always known, all those years when I was trying to get Ashley to come in, I've always known, because I have amazing assistants in my practice. I mean, really, mm-hmm. I mean, I have so much respect for my team and the clinical care we provide. What has always, always, always held me back from doing more sleep cases was not having somebody that was constantly reaching out to the physicians, constantly reaching out to the sleep labs, and just keeping that networking alive, because we only have so many hours in a day to do that. And then I was teaching, so I had zero time to do any of that networking. And just what Ashley said earlier, my assistants that are also doing general dentistry, they don't have the time to do that kind of paperwork. And so anyway, Ashley, you be as honest as you want to be. And I'm going to say she saw my practice before and after, and she's the best person to say why everyone should get one when they start.
I think I totally agree. Dr. Horowitz has the best assistants. I worked in three different dental practices and have implemented sleep apnea in those practices. And he has a great set of assistants that were very on board when I started to help me kind of show me the ropes and what he did and what he didn't do and what this hygienist did and where we could kind of blossom in, and just really held my hand. So that was really nice. He has a front desk girl that really works hard on his medical billing. So it was a very nice transition to get into in previous positions where I'd been in the past, where sleep medicine had not been already started. So that was a very nice thing to understand. But like you said, Jennifer, really trying to establish myself and really make myself valuable for the practice was something that I was very concerned about, because they already had an established sleep medicine practice when I started. So it was very scary to think, okay, I'm going to move, and is this going to be able to blossom? So I think Dr. Horowitz did a great job of screening and getting all of his patients tested from his current patient load. I think the only thing that he was struggling with, which we just mentioned, was the paperwork, was really following up on those current patients and sending letters every time they were seen. And regardless if they were with his sleep medicine practice or their hygiene practice, saying, I saw Ashley Brown today. She's not using her CPAP. I think we should talk about an oral appliance. Please let me know if you have any questions. I'd like to get her sleep tested. Here's my information. So I think that just connecting those dots really made a game changer in his practice. What we started doing was writing letters to all the physicians on every single sleep medicine patient that came in the practice. And I can tell you that the numbers of referrals that have came to him has tripled. He has so many referrals. I mean, I'm out of town this week, but I gave my assistant 9 patients to schedule. I was like, I've got to go out of town, but here's some 9 new patients. Can you please get them scheduled while I'm gone? So it's a lot. So we've been getting, that's all outside referrals that we got in a day. And that was just from Friday when I was working on Friday and I collected those referrals and I gave them to her Monday to call. So it just shows you how much really communicating with the patients. The doctors want to send patients to you, but they want to know that you're working on the protocol that they're comfortable with and you're speaking the language that they speak. So if they see that, then they'll start to send patients to you. But if they don't see that communication and they just hear, oh, Ashley Brown did great with her sleep appliance. I did great with it. Did you hear about it? And the physician is like, no, I didn't hear about it. I didn't get a follow-up letter. I didn't get to see her follow-up study result. I didn't get to see any of that information. I think that that's a game changer. We are sending follow-up studies to the doctors. And on the letter that I write to the doctor, I write in big, congrats, your patient has been successfully treated with oral appliance therapy. And that really resonates with patients. That resonates with the patients, the physicians, and their assistants, because they don't see that with CPAP a lot. My mom has CPAP right now. I have a very interesting family history of sleep apnea. My sister has gone through the weight loss surgery. Her sleep apnea went from 22, and we have been sleep testing each other all weekend. And
you guys know how to party.
Yeah, we really do. And so her AHI has gone from a 22 to a 1.2.
That's awesome.
And that's just with weight loss. That was not with her appliance in place. But she had no clue that she had sleep apnea before I was starting this. My mom, she stops breathing 48 times an hour, every hour. She's severe. She has had sleep apnea since she was a child. She's been showing me her CPAP. She wears a CPAP. I'm not taking her off CPAP. She's too severe. I could try, but she loves it. I don't take anybody off CPAP that loves it. And so she keeps showing me all her statistics and her AHI is still a 10, a 5, a 15, but it's never a 0 or a 1. So I just really think that we can help those patients and I can help her. And so it just really even showed me this week how much we can be as helpful to our patients and even just our family members.
I'm so glad that you answered that. And obviously you're on vacation. In fact, I sent you, I was like, here's the link. We haven't really talked much at all before this, but I really wanted that answer to be organic and come from you because I wholeheartedly agree. Where most of the sleep I was doing was really being generated before from within my practice and from word of mouth in the Conway community where most of my patients were. All of a sudden now, because of her communication skills with all of the physicians, now we're just getting referrals from, from the sleep labs, everyone. from the ENTs, from the pulmonologist, from, the endocrinologist. And, we tried to reach out like that before, but there's only so much you can do with the resources that you have in dentistry. I'm thankful for Ashley for that.
Thank you. Since I've been out of town, we've had 2 physicians call me this week and I have people taking voicemails for me, but letting me know when those things, important things happen. And they're reaching out saying that they want to work with us more and they want to know what to do so that they can see more of our patients because we are working with the medical insurances and communicating the way that they would like us to. And they don't see other people in South Carolina providing this service. So it's
really and we're making referrals back to them a lot.
So we're sharing. It's a sharing. Yeah. We're not just, screening all of our patients. We're sending the Medicare patients out. We're following the insurance rules that we need to follow. So it's been a tough time, obviously, learning those insurance rules. But now that we know them, we are able to flourish through that and really make the practice as successful as possible.
And what I learned with Ashley is that there aren't really many dental, sleep, medicine, insurance experts. There's a lot of people who talk about it, but there aren't, when it comes down to brass tacks, there's not that many that really know all of, you know, all of the intricacies. And that was something that Ashley really impressed upon me, because when she came into the practice, you know, there were a few things that we were doing on the Medicare side that even Ashley, when she came in, she said, and I thought I was doing everything perfectly by the guidelines. And Ashley said, well, you know what? Really, that's a little bit shady with Medicare. You definitely want to err on the side of having too much information. And, you know, so we got those things straightened out. But it's amazing how many different people we had to talk to, right? To get some of those answers along the way. It wasn't, there was no one source that you could go to and get all those answers. Even some of the billing companies we found were, you know, they didn't have all of the information.
That's exactly right. I feel like we've been fortunate enough to be friends with a lot of the medical billing companies. So we're able to reach out when we have specific questions. There's been a lot of them that have been really helpful, like Dedicated Sleep, Brady Billing, Nearman Practice Management. Anytime I reach out and have questions, I've worked with all of them in the past. They've all been really helpful when we've been starting our new practice in South Carolina and really making sure that we're going forward correctly. But really having a good people to back yourself on is very important, I feel like.
So Ashley, what are some of the things that dental practices may not think about when they decide to start providing sleep care therapy? I mean, you know, it here's what happens is the typical office, you know, they go to a course and I, you know, I've taught courses for so long and I love it. I love when people get excited because there's not too many people providing sleep. There are not enough people providing it the right way. So I love to watch other dentists get excited about it and want to do a good job doing it. But I also think there are some things that the average practice doesn't think about when they just say, we're gonna start doing this. Right. What do you know? What are some of those things that maybe you could give some advice on?
So you're asking what the average practice, I guess, should be cautious on, really? Right. I think one of the things that you nailed on the head was just the Medicare. Like how much, first of all, if you're going to do sleep medicine, one of the things that we all have to realize is that one of the biggest populations of sleep is the 65 and up. So not working with Medicare is a big deal. If you're going to do sleep medicine and you're not going to work with Medicare, I really caution you because the physicians aren't going to like that. Your referring providers want to see that you're working with Medicare and all the insurances possible. What a referring provider does not want to do is say, should I refer to Dr. Jeff Horowitz? Is he in network with United Healthcare or Medicare or Aetna? I'm not sure. What they want to say is, Dr. Jeff Horowitz is in network with all medical insurances. He takes this very seriously. We're going to refer them right over to him. And I think that that's something that people don't realize how big that really affects their sleep practice. If you try and do this at the beginning and you're really not serious, I think deciding on the insurance and kind of debating on what you want to do, if you want to go halfway with insurance, not if you want to go full cash fee, I think that that really hurts you. I think a lot of dentists think that they should just do this as a cash fee and that we don't have to use insurance. And I think that that's where they start to get into a problem because people want to use these benefits.
Is there any advice that you would give to a dental assistant or not even a dental assistant? Because, you know, one of the cool things that we've done with Ashley is she has now brought on a protege. So she brought on a young lady who worked in a sleep lab before. Ashley had her shadow her the whole time and actually worked with her this week, and Ashley wasn't here. So it's amazing what Ashley was able to pass on to her where, you know, I've got a couple of locations. So, you know, there's going to be a point where I can take Heather and let her run one location. Why do you, or what is the advice that you would give to anybody that wanted to become a sleep care coordinator? But like I said, it doesn't have to start. They don't have to start as a dental assistant.
Right.
You started as a dental technician. Heather came in as a polysomnographic technician. What advice would you give to anybody who wants to do that?
I think really my biggest advice is go to the annual meetings. Sleep has an annual meeting that AADSM, you have to go to these because they give you so many updates and just really the bylaws of what things are changing. Like Jennifer mentioned that South Carolina may be discussing not doing home studies anymore. That's going to be discussed at the upcoming sleep meeting. So if you really want to dive into sleep medicine, really making sure that you're familiar with all of these laws and regulations, I think is the first thing that you need to start on. Also really familiarizing yourself with your dental practice and the hygienist and your office and really getting a good screening tool. I think that that really laid a good foundation for me at Dr. Horowitz's office. They were already screening and using Virtuox studies. So all the hygienists, if they see an airway issue, they're sending their patients home automatically with an oxygen test. And then they're sending me the oxygen
test. Hopefully that'll continue after this Friday.
And they're sending me these oxygen tests home. And these are not full sleep studies. These are just monitoring their oxygen tests.
It's just a screening.
Right. And so it's just a screening guide that we do for our patients for free. But if we're able to see that their oxygen drops below 90%, 92%, we know that they should be looking into further sleep testing. And so it allows us to open the door to patients. So I really think establishing an appropriate protocol for getting your patients, your current patients screened, because you want to start with the current patient load that you have and then start working on outside referral sources. Yeah. And I think that's where a lot of people start to make the mistakes is that they want to jump in sleep medicine and put commercials out and radio commercials and really start to advocate to the outside world. But they really need to start at their current practice and make sure that their patients that they're already seeing are being tested and treated, because there are so many patients that have CPAPs or had a CPAP at your current practice that aren't able to be using them. And those are your first patients that you could start with that already trust you.
And I also have to give a shout out to, you know, so for a long time I lectured with Sleep Group Solutions. And as many of you know, I mean, I still, you know, a lot of my protocols are still, you know, what I was taught in Sleep Group Solutions. And I was doing sleep before then. They taught me a protocol that really worked well. We've tweaked it. We brought Ashley in. But one of the things that I will tell you, a great resource, if there's someone in your practice that wants to be trained in sleep, Rebecca Leahy with Sleep Group Solutions does an incredible sleep care coordinators course. And they are not paying for this in any way. They're not a sponsor in any way. But I have to say, Rebecca is someone I have so much respect for. And I got to lecture with her a few times. And, you know, I would say that, you know, Rebecca Leahy and Ashley Brown are probably the two best sleep care coordinators in the country. And it just so happens that Rebecca Leahy does a course with Sleep Group Solutions where she will actually teach someone how to become a sleep care coordinator. And I think that's a great start. Wouldn't you agree, Ashley?
100%. I went to so many of Rebecca's courses. I can't even count.
Yeah. So, she does a great job.
Yeah. She's a great educator.
So we're about out of time, Ash. So I'm going to have to let you go. Do you guys have any last questions for Ashley?
No questions, but I think her point about screening your patient population is extremely valid, because there's a lot of patients that come into a dental office every day and you see the warning signs or you see it on your health history screen. And to be educated, if for no other reason than to have that conversation, to refer that patient back to their sleep physician or their primary care physician, if you do know sleep appliances, but to be educated and have an informed conversation with your patients. I've had so many say, no one's ever talked to me about this or had the depth of knowledge to understand what's happening, to look at a sleep test and have those conversations. If nothing else, you build a lot of trust and a lot of people get help, whether it's in your office or somewhere else. And so for that, it's a win if you're trying to take care of people and serve their needs. So I applaud you for everything you're doing, Ashley. I think you're doing an awesome job.
Thank you so much. That means
I'd have to agree. You are definitely carrying your weight there. So kudos to you, kiddo.
Ashley,
Go love your family.
Okay, bye.
Go enjoy.
Bye,
Ashley. Thank you for coming on.
Bye. Yeah.
Thank you. So how you doing? Just give us a Chad moment or two.
Hey, Chad did a great thing on Clubhouse this week too. Just, you know, we'll try That's to fun. Post it when we can, when we're going to pop on Clubhouse from time to time. But I just think it actually was a really great event talking about camaraderie on the internet space and just being kind and professional to one another. And I think most people struggle with that vulnerability that happens when we post things online and having a safe space to truly vet it out amongst professionals, because we all come at it from different levels of expertise and understanding. And I hope that Dinks can be that safe space that people can post things for help or to be uplifting or, you know, to just vent, frankly, and have colleagues that will lift you up. I know that Nachos has been the same kind of place. And I think we all just have to continue to treat one another with kindness and respect. And so I thought Chad did a great job of representing Dinks in that Clubhouse. And I learned a lot actually from the other folks that were speaking in that event as well. So more Clubhouse events to come, I think. And we'll try to jump on when we can, when we have something interesting to talk about.
We've got our people all over time now. They're all ready to go and do their thing. Yeah. So, guys, amazing seeing you. And to all our viewers, have a great weekend. And we'll be right back here next Wednesday.
See everybody next week.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds great. Y'all have a good night.
Bye. Bye.